I'm Adam Cedric.
Hey, Cedric.
And I want to thank this area for inviting me down again. Lower Mountain Valley, right? As the journey continues. I really like that theme. And well, I took my glasses off. Now my car is giving me glare. Wow. But I really enjoy it over here. We look forward to it. It's the third year coming down. And the other part, my disease is always lurking because I saw the flyers in my area and I didn't want people to notice them. I didn't want people in my area to come down also. And that's self-centeredness, you know. Because a retreat being to me is away from retreating from my norm, from where I regularly commune. So, but God is in charge. I just ran into some people from the area, which is great. But my fears, you know, my defects are based in fear a lot of times. I just kind of turn into, we have a similar deal in our area, recovery in the woods, and I didn't want this retreat to turn into that for me, you know. But the sixth tradition is what I was asked to speak about and share my experience, rather. And the sixth tradition is, in a group, I'll never endorse, finance, or lend the NA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lease problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. And I thank God for the traditions and our predecessors' hard-won experience, putting them in place for us, and if they're not negotiable, we break them for lack of knowledge or self-will, but they're not negotiable, and when we abide by our traditions, everything goes well. But, you know, like my sponsor just really talked to me about, even when we break the traditions, things will end up well again. We may waver off course. So, we want to talk about indoors. And a lot of times I get nitpicky about it, and people, sometimes I don't know if we subconsciously do it, but when we announce meetings and it sounds as if it's not necessary really to speak about the facility and it's in a detailed manner. The address is fine, you know. Like my home group, for instance, Recovery on Elmwood, I don't have to follow that by the such and such Unitarian Church of God. You know, it's kind of an endorsement, because at the same time, even though we meet in sometimes or oftentimes in others, I'm not sure, in churches or religious facilities, for a new, we don't have to like emphasize that, because a person new, not having any information about Narcotic Anonymous besides being directed to it, perhaps, or coming out of treatment, or just being introduced to it on the phone line or such, could get a mixed message as far as the religious catch or thinking we have something to do with it because we're putting the title of the meeting along with the title of the church. So that's one thing, like, as far as maybe I've noticed in as far as endorsing. As far as, like, facilities, I'm thinking of one in particular back home, an example of having an NA meeting and paying an exuberant amount of rent to the facility. It's sort of a, it's like I work here, or a person, for example, works at the facility, and they have their mission statement or what they're doing in the community, or in which is fine, and we are in cooperation, not affiliation, but in a way of financing that group, the facility rather, and their mission, and it's kind of like filtering money into it through the rent. I've seen that. How much are you paying? And no donation goes to area or to further the primary purpose of Narcotic Anonymous world or region. This particular group I'm thinking about has no associate. I think they were copying schedules on their copy machine. They weren't really participating but using the money like that. And don't let me leave that out. Throwing functions that made money. You see, at the same time, that was the main part, right? Because it wasn't a whole big participation of wasn't a large meeting where they had a large separate tradition. But yeah, it was the functions. And diverting from our primary purpose. Our primary purpose is to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. So that stuff diverts us, and people who can benefit from this program won't get the message because of the lack of a clear, concise message. Money's being diverted where people can get hold of literature and so forth. Lending the NA name, this was a tricky one. I just ran across this recently. It was weird. It was a home group who... No. Let me get it right. It was a home group or some members who wanted to throw a function. Once again, these home groups, that's not even their purpose, to make money and fundraisers in the first place. So now we had a home group member who had there was another group who put their name, they lend their name to throw a function without the other home group members being really aware of it. It's like a flyer was made out and said that this home group is throwing this function, but because of the one person at another group, their conscience didn't want to go along with it. So they lend the NA name, this home group's NA name was lent to throw a function. And the other group members weren't aware of it. They didn't sanction it. And maybe that might be not kind of nailing that the way this tradition is intending it, but that still falls under my interpretation. But it goes further to say that any related facility. So, related facility, as far as like meeting in a rehab and meeting at a church, and we're not we can't give our name to them as far as anything that any of their functions, or it's not like it's, for example, the I've heard it blended in as far as not saying the it's going back to what I mentioned earlier, but Lindy, the name is like calling the facility the NA meeting instead of the name of it, you know, the Camp Harmony meeting, you know, and it's not really that, it's and that's Lindy the name, and it goes together, it doesn't go together that way, even though we're in cooperation with this facility, we can't lend the, you know, and that's like an outside enterprise. And the money, property, and prestige part of it is, you said, these problems of money, property, and prestige. Because sometimes we want to, I don't know what happens. Money has always been a problem for us, and that's in the next tradition, the seventh. But it becomes a defect because we need money to function and we're fully self-supporting, but it becomes something that's natural. Well, that's necessary. It's like things that we have in ourselves that are natural, and we distort them out of control, and it becomes a defect of making money. Home groups want to do it, and they're out of control as far as the money being overseas. It's all over the place, and it gets misappropriated. Money doesn't make it up to through the fund flow, and also the money it takes away the energy that home group members can use to further our primary purpose instead of doing money-making ventures, H&I, PI, phone line, these are usually lack of members, but we're running around really like busy bees making money. It's like the home group, that's the home group's purpose. And then it conflicts with the unity of having one thing going over here for region or another area throwing something, and then you got a home group with basically with a monkey wrench in it, causing disunity, dividing the fellowship as far as their support in the name of making money, diverting our primary purpose. And property goes along with the money. I don't know about over here, but a lot of people, not a lot, but it happens more than it's, well, you know, people are selling wares, DVDs, socks, stolen stuff, you know, around the meetings, that property, diverting us as far as, and that's the person there and the person who's buying it. You know, cigarettes, I live in New York State, you know, this stuff is high for people who smoke. That money and that property going together, diverting us from our primary purpose at our meeting place. It's just like, it just looks like a flea market sometimes with the trunks open and, walking through the meetings and with cigarettes in hand, like, you know, advertising and sometimes we have meetings and facilities which I don't agree that, you know, I believe H&I should be there, and they're bringing into smoke-free facilities, cigarettes into there, so it diverts, it's just like a mess. And these traditions seem like they're so harmless. I mean, the breaking them seems so harmless. You know, I told the guy, man, you get out of here, man, I'm going to call the police. You got my home group. No, we're not having that. I'm calling the police. I'm not going to wrestle you, bounce you out. You're welcome, you know, and get your baby anyway. You know, you pass your baby around, you run around selling cigarettes. Yeah, the cigarettes laid out in the bathroom, counting his inventory. I said, yo, we got a nice church that allows us to come there. It's beautiful. You know, the pastor's nice. You know, and the higher neighborhood. You can't do that. He hasn't been back since. But I know I'm a dirty son of a gun and probably a snitch or whatever. But we have to protect our primary purpose. You know, for you, you know. So, sometimes you're a bad guy, you know, appear to be, or it feels funny, or feels difficult doing this stuff. And the prestige is like, and I've been guilty of this, not wanting to be a part of the program, wanting to be something that I wasn't, with arrogance, not taking the simple suggestions, feeling like I didn't have to do what you guys did and everything, and, you know, as if I was a, you know, it's just like that egomaniac with low self-esteem, that addict, I'm not picking up cups, I don't want a hug, I don't need a sponsor or, you know, a home group, and, you know, and trying to be a part of bringing, as if the things that I brought to the meeting, I mean, with my car, or I got a new shirt, or something that, you know, and I had to get this stuff at all costs, you know, whether it's like working all the time, you know, get this, and it's nice to have all those things, but it was the balance of trying to think in recovery equated with being prestigious diverted me. I wasn't hearing the message. See, and that's been my personal recovery, personal experience. And that's just like going through the way the word, the tradition is laid out. You know, every NA group are never endorsed, finance, lend, or lend the NA name to any related facility, you know, or outside enterprise. These problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. And we do have a primary purpose, and we have alternate purposes also. See, so, you know, the primary purpose is to carry the message and stay clean, but we have other purposes to get the word out there. That's why we say related facilities. We do, H and I, we go into people's places, and they allow us to do presentations, and we set up health. We participate in health fairs, and with, you know, PI, and we show up to as individuals being members of Narcotic Anonymous, and we don't want to smear our name, our good name, with participating in any of the things that we talked about, because it just blurs the line, and it just it really will run. If we don't want to lose one person, and so it's not like we talked about when we have people. It was mentioned to me before, like, how could we be anonymous? And it was a question, which is great. And we have it advertised on buses, or we do TV spots, and, you know. And that's we're endorsing, we're getting a message out there. We're not a secret society, even though we're anonymous. We do want to get the word out that who we are, what we are, and what we're doing. You know, our primary purpose. So the sixth tradition is very important. It just, all of them are. They all work together. But first of all, in the first tradition, we have to have some unity. The second tradition, we have to have ultimate authority. God is the ultimate authority. The third tradition is a desire. You know, a desire. And in the fourth tradition, we want to have autonomy. We have some rights to do things as a group, but we don't want it to go against to hurt any other part of Narcotic Anonymous, an individual or So in the fifth tradition, we, you know, it's definitely just our primary purpose that an addict, any addict, should stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. So, you know, we don't want anything to get in the way of finding that new way to live, you know, as far as financing or, you know, money or property or prestige, to get in the way of that new way to live. Because we can have the most difficult thing, and I want to say for myself, and I see with a lot of people who suffer from obsession and compulsion, which makes up the disease of addiction, is finding a balance with all this stuff. We get off kilter. We have good intentions in the beginning. You know, a home group wants to raise money. We have an anniversary, and it gets out of control. Because without personal recovery, we can't have NA unity. See, so the traditions work all, you know, they're in order for a reason. So I can't expect a person to work a great, well, attempt to practice a sixth tradition if they haven't worked the first tradition. They don't understand about unity or that God is in charge, you know, that I'm not the boss. You know, it's the third tradition, that it's a desire to lie. If someone wants to participate, let them. It's a desire to stop, to be a part of. You know, the autonomy allows you to do it, and that's what the double is for. We can do it. Our autonomy allows us. And it's just, you know, so it's important to have traditions as part of your format. You know, to glance through them. You know, I do a step and I do a tradition with my sponsor. You know, to get an understanding about this stuff. And it's not really difficult. And I encourage people to do it. It's not a whole lot of writing. If you don't want, you have this stuff on CD. You know, you have people that will help you read through it if you're not an avid reader. You know, let's do understanding the application that they work. You know, and the other part of traditions in closing is I really like this part, that we keep what we have only with vigilance. We have to be watchful. I have to constantly keep an eye out because I'll drift away. You know, if we find ourselves bickering and things are falling apart and going crazy, we drifted apart from one of the traditions. You know, with the principles in them. You know, and I said in closing, but my last experience was service was that I was the regional delegate for so long, like twice, going to World Service, doing a special project for World, regional chair, and just a whole lot of other stuff. And I didn't understand the tradition as far as like the second, that it's time for me to move on, because I thought that was my shit. Huh? I said the region was my arena. That's what I said. So I'm 1-2. I have the same obsession and compulsion. The disease is I have this dis-ease also. You know, it talks about when you start a home group, when you long in service, you've been a fixture there. It starts to get that way, and I didn't understand that it was time for me to go. And my sponsor had to tell me, man, because it happened early in the meeting. It's like a six-hour meeting. It happened about the first hour, Richard. Man, I sat in my car for 5 hours with myself, and it was painful. Even talk about it. It was terribly painful. So I prayed, Mr. N.A. in my area, really, they pick on me because I love this program. But me too. So we all do, so we have to be vigilant. I didn't see it. You know, with my willingness, with my being informed, you know, I wanna do it, but that doesn't mean that you're supposed to. Your time is up. Go back to your home group and make some coffee. And that's what I do. I set up chairs and make coffee, start all over again. So yeah, I just wanted to say that, man, and I love Narcotic Anonymous. I'm glad that God shakes me up, that I can remain humble. The ideal posture of recovered addict, to be humble. You know what I'm saying? But you can feel us hurt sometimes, you know, in lessons. So I'm glad I got some people from my hometown here, and that stirred that up. That made me, you know what I mean, look at that. You know, got Dale back there. He's been helping me in service a long time. You know, and I'm just glad to be a part of this. This is prestigious enough to be a member of Narcotic Anonymous in good standing. You see, where you can travel anywhere, you know people, you can call people, you recognize, you get a hug, and that's prestige. And you know, being in a good relationship with my God and my community, my people, that's enough for me, you know. And it doesn't divert me if I keep it in perspective. So I'm going to cede the chair, and thanks for letting me share.
I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Cheryl, from the Dormont area of group of NA in the South Hills area.
An addict named Cheryl.
Hi, Cheryl.
You know, I was listening to Cedric, and I was feeling nice and calm, and everything was good, and then all these people started coming in, and I felt my anxiety going up. You know, first I want to thank the committee for asking me to come and share on anything, but I like sharing on the traditions. And you know, I particularly like the sixth tradition because it has something to do with my current service position, which is being involved in public information, and it is a public relations kind of related tradition. One of the things that I was thinking about as I was, you know, sitting and listening to Cedric, and he went through and like talked about what it means to endorse. It means to say that we're in favor of something. And to finance means to make our money useful to it. And the part that always gets us confused is like, what does it mean to lend our name? Because like, oftentimes we don't actually lend our name. People borrow our name without our consent. And it talks in this tradition about our responsibility there, that other organizations are not responsible for upholding our traditions. We're responsible. So that when other organizations are borrowing our name without our consent, that we need to be responsible to explain to them why that's not the appropriate thing to do. The other side to that is with that concept of endorsing, is that we don't endorse other organizations, other ideals, other philosophies, but lots of other organizations endorse us. And we kind of like that, because that lends some credibility to us. I was actually sitting before the meeting a little bit, and I always like to go back through. I got this highlighter pen. No, I'm telling you, this pen, I don't know what, because it doesn't look as bright in here. Joel, it might have just been the way the sunlight was shining on it, but I was like, oh, wow, I put that out there. I got to tell you that those were a couple things that my sponsor told me to get when I first got clean. A basic text, a dictionary, a pen that worked, and a highlighter. And I still have that kind of stuff because I still think it's important. It's become really important for me in my recovery process to recognize that I need to apply the traditions as an individual member of Narcotics Anonymous in my relationship with Narcotics Anonymous. The other thing that I've learned to do that is a blessing is that I can take the information and the tools of the traditions and apply them as an individual human being, member of the human race. And I'm going to try to talk a little bit about both sides to that. You know, I think to talk about this tradition, we have to talk about what our primary purpose is. And our primary purpose is pretty clear. Carry the message to the addict who still suffers. And Cedric was talking about, you know, and there are some other purposes, but we as a fellowship have a primary purpose. As individuals, like, I have a purpose too, which is, as a member here, to stay clean first and foremost, because I can't do anything else after that. But one of the things as a human being, as a person, I had to figure out what my primary purpose is in the world that I live in. And for me, that's about, as a human being, I want to do no harm, do some good and grow myself. That's kind of like, you know, what I think my higher power has for me on this planet. So, you know, the first thing I have to do in recognizing whether I'm applying this tradition in the fellowship or as a human being is what's the primary purpose? You know, when I look at those ideas of endorsing financing and lending, you know, Cedric did very well talking about what happens with, you know, how we do that as a fellowship. You know, I think one of the things we need to recognize is, you know, it seems fairly clear when a group is endorsing the place that it's meeting. When we're I'm going to talk a little bit about when we finance the place that we're meeting, because my experience has been that that's where we often get screwed up, particularly in related facilities, primarily recovery clubs, because their primary purpose seems so similar to ours that oftentimes even our members don't understand the difference. I got clean not all that far from here, in an area that when I got clean didn't even have an NA meeting every night of the week. And so you could be at a meeting at the local recovery club, and the message was so blurred that somebody would ask, oh, when's the next meeting? And they were at an NA meeting. And so to me, if you're at an NA meeting asking when the next meeting is, I'm going to tell you when the next NA meeting is. But in this place, you could be told whatever the next meeting was that was meeting in that building. And that becomes not just an endorsement maybe of some other organization, but it blurs that whole mess of what that organization's primary purpose is about. The other side to that was an issue related to financing that facility. There was a point at which, and this is the thing, like sometimes you just got to let it go, because that place has moved a zillion times. It's still a recovery club down there. But it was like, oh, we're going to lose this place because the recovery club board can't pay their rent and blah, blah, blah. And then, so at that point, like 5 of the 7 meetings that met in that area all met in that place. And everybody was panicked. Where are we? You know what? 4 of those meetings found an alternative place to meet for less money, better facility, and actually Narcotics Anonymous grew as a result of that. And lo and behold, the recovery club, this is now 17 years later, that organization still exists, separate from our organization, in a different location, but they're doing fine too. Sometimes we just can't, like, you know, we get all mangled in there and can't work it out. You know, I think the idea, you know, when we look at lending the NA name, that we can't call a recovery club the NA club, we can't call a treatment facility, it even says in here the NA treatment program or whatever it is, we don't do that. Narcotics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women for whom drugs have become a major problem. That's all we are. We're this, like, this little group of people that get together and do what we do, work in the steps and traditions to stay clean. We don't get messed up in the rest of that. I really want to talk a little bit, because I think oftentimes we spend a lot of time talking about the first part of that tradition and don't give the second part its due, which is less problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Everybody knows what money is, right? I don't, because there's none in my pocket. I got one to pull a dollar out and say, I don't even have a dollar in my pocket. We all know what money is, and we all know I know from personal experience, both before I got clean and after I got clean, how money can mess me up. Money, the drive for money, the want for money, the lack of money, the want of money can have us doing some pretty crazy things. Yeah, my husband will tell you all about crazy things done for the want of money. Not my crazy things. It talks in this tradition about not needing or trying to get more money than we need to do what we need to do. That if we pass the basket and we don't get enough to do what we need to do, we need to re-examine that. Like if passing the basket isn't paying the rent, we need to look at, okay, why are there 45 people at the meeting and the basket is only $10? Why are we meeting in this place where the rent is far more than what our collection is? We need to look at that. The answer isn't, oh, let's go make T-shirts. That's the old behavior.
Yep.
Let's go scheming and scamming to come up with something. Property. Property is an interesting thing. We all want a little piece of property. Groups don't need a whole lot of property. You know, actually, groups don't need any property. Really, the only property the groups need is like some literature to pass out. Even the coffee pot is not a necessary piece of property for the group. It's nice to have. The group does not need a nacho machine. You know, it doesn't need 87 tables. The group needs just the amount of property it needs to do what it needs to do. Then there's that idea of prestige.
Yeah.
Prestige is about being able to stand up with our chest out and thinking we're the best NA meeting in the world, not because of what our meeting is about. Because my home group's the best NA meeting in the world. All right? We ain't got... We got a coffee pot. We got two coffee pots, one for regular, one for decaf, and we actually have a cooler because in the summertime we put some iced tea out. But we'll have a lot of stuff. We're the best NA meeting in the world as far as I'm concerned because of what goes on at our meeting. That's what gives us our prestige. I tell you a little bit about my home group because I'm finally like feeling like it's my home group. I had to change home groups and I've like not... But this is, we break up into about six meetings. And we're a literature discussion meeting. And we have on the stage, because there's a stage in our building, we have a steps and traditions meeting where we do the step or tradition related to the month that we're in. So this is August, so we would be doing eight. We do it out of the It Works How and Why, the Just for Today, or the It Works How and Why, the basic text, the step. Then we do it out of, then we do the same thing with the tradition. And then if there's a fifth Thursday in the month, we do something from the sponsorship book. Then there's some other meetings, and we have a Just for Today meeting, and then we have four basic text meetings, one of which is a beginner's meeting. So we're all about the literature. So that's, to me, what makes us a great meeting. That when people talk about my home group, I don't want them talking about we got the greatest coffee because I don't know about that, or that we got the iced tea because that's pretty funky too. I want people when they're talking about my home group to say, you know, I was at that Dormont group last night and damn, did those people talk about the steps. Wow, are there some people that know the traditions. Oh my goodness, I never heard somebody decide to read the... That book from that chapter from the basic text, but wow, when they were talking about that and that sponsorship book, I didn't even know we had one of those. That's what I want people saying. My experience with prestige, and Mario's not here, but I'm not talking shit on his home group because there was his home group. And you know what? And this is one of those changes that a group made. There was his home group. I went there every Saturday. Awesome meeting. For years, people went there. Saturday morning, 9 a.m. Who wants to get up to be at a meeting? It's also the only meeting, Eric, you know, right? We used to go in our pajamas. You would actually show up at this meeting in your pajamas with your slippers on. And people would look at you funny because you could clearly tell who rolled out of bed and didn't care about what they looked like. But damn, could they put on a spread there. You would get there, fresh strawberries, bananas, oh, this was amazing. Sliced, and people would talk about the spread. Now, some of us would talk about the meeting, because it was a Steps and Traditions meeting, the 9 o'clock meeting, and then there was a 10:30 meeting that was an open discussion meeting. But the prestige that that meeting had for a really long time was about the spread. And there came a point, and I don't even remember when it was, like, I don't know whether people just said, like, this is too much, or whether there was a moment where people said, you know what, this isn't what we want to be about. But that changed. Now, 9 a.m., they're still there, pajamas, and it's great. It's one of those meetings where you got the people in their pajamas and their slippers, and you got the people that I'm thinking, you got up at 4 o'clock in the morning to get dressed in that outfit and put that face on. So often, that kind of stuff can divert us from what we're there for. You know, and that was the neatest thing, is like that was a meeting where you could talk about both ends of prestige, that prestige for all of that stuff and the prestige for the type of meeting that it was. And I got to say this, I don't think at any point in my recollection that those people were diverted from their primary purpose by strawberries and bananas. But it certainly could be possible. Our goal here is to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. And Cedric was kind of going back through some of the earlier traditions. And group autonomy allows us some ability to find a way for each group to best do that. And if strawberries and bananas are helpful, by all means. If a speaker meeting is what works, great. If meeting in this great facilities, you know, we've got to figure out the best way that each group can take care of that primary purpose. I wrote myself little notes in here, and now I, like, forgot them all. But let me, this is one. One thing I want to say about endorsement, because oftentimes we talk about endorsing related facilities and all of that. How we share, what we share, when we share in a meeting can endorse something without us thinking about it. And I say that because when I got here, and I got clean in that small community where I got clean, I'd say 90% of the people in that community believed in the same higher power and felt the need to name that higher power in every meeting. Now, one person said it, okay, but when, you know, you go to a meeting every night of the week and there's 15 people in a meeting and 13 people at every meeting say this is their higher power, there was a time where I thought I couldn't get clean because there was no way I was believing in that higher power. Without knowing it, the message I got from the way those people shared was an endorsement. They didn't realize that, but the message I got was that to be a member of Narcotics Anonymous, I had to believe that. So we endorse things without saying it. You've been to a treatment program. Great, you've been to a treatment program. I know the names of pretty much every treatment program in all of Western Pennsylvania. You don't need to say what treatment program you went to. That's endorsing that treatment program. And if five of you say that same thing and I'm coming in here and I can't get a day clean, I'm thinking that that's what I got to do, is go to that treatment program. I don't know about you. As a result of staying clean, I've got vast resources available to me. So I read a lot. I read books. I read magazines. I read articles. I talk to all sorts of people. I get what I need for my recovery from Narcotics Anonymous, but I'm not too proud to go ask anybody for help today. So I don't need it. If something has helped me and I have incorporated it into my life and my recovery process, I don't need to say I read in such and such book that this is a good idea. All I need to do is share that, you know, for the last 5 years I've been doing this and it's been helpful to me. I didn't need to tell you where I read about the type of meditation that I do. I just need to share about how I meditate. I don't need to tell you that any specific prayer that I pray. I just need to say that I do it. That oftentimes we endorse without recognizing that what we're saying is endorsing. And I think that, you know, and I bring that up because, you know, it says, do we imply, or do we distract other members at the meeting from NA's message of recovery or give new members the wrong impression because of the way that we share? So, you know, it's important for me to recognize that today. A little bit, I want to talk a little bit about how I try to apply the tradition in my life as a human being, not just in my life as a member of Narcotics Anonymous. And it starts with recognizing, you know, and I don't remember who, where, when, or how I learned this or came up with it, is like developing my own sense of primary purpose. What is it that I believe that I'm on this planet for? And that if each of us come up with a little statement for ourselves about why we think we're on this planet and use that to kind of guide our lives, wow. It's been working for NA. NA has this primary purpose. You know, it works for us. It works for a zillion other organizations. You right? You go looking for a job. One of the first things you want to do is look up the mission statement of that organization so you can figure out if it's a place where you kind of are going to fit in. So we know that that works. There was a point at which, and I don't remember, I'd lie if I tried to come up with a year, that my husband and I can't even remember if we were married when that happened. We sat at our kitchen table and kind of came up with what our primary purpose was as a family. Because that helps when I'm making decisions, because like as a member of NA, the decisions I make, particularly in service, impact NA as a whole. As a member of my family, the decisions that I make impact not just me but my family as a whole. If I'm able to recognize does what I'm about to do further the primary purpose of my family, does it further my personal primary purpose, or does it distract from that or detract from that, I've got some nice little guidelines on how to make a decision there. Wow. Because if you're like me, I'm the person that like before I got here, the way I decided what clothes to wear is I picked them up, and if they didn't stand up on their own, that meant they could go on my body. I didn't know about making decisions. So, like, that's, you know, that's really helpful. I try to the best of my ability today not to lend my name to anything. Like, I'm not the person that says, oh, yeah, tell them Cheryl sent you. Because, you know, it was funny. Somebody else was talking about that earlier today, and they were like, yeah, I'm going to tell them that you sent me, and they're going to say, oh, get out of here. Because, you know, number one is, like, I don't always know where my name is really good and where it isn't good. The other thing is I don't want that converse happening. You tell somebody that I sent you and then you screw them, then I'm in bad shape as well. I can barely finance myself. So I don't finance other people. Now, I learned a long time ago here, I don't lend money. If you need money, I give it to you. If I got it, I give it to you. Because lending means I expect to get it back. Like, I don't want to expect that. I won't give you what I can't afford to be without. You know, because then I'm like always, every time I see you then, I'm about, it could be 50 cents, right? You know, you got that 50 cents that went. No, I'm either going to give it to you or I'm going to keep it. You know, you can only keep what you have by giving it away, or you can only keep what you have by keeping it. I was at a retreat once. This was great. We were in the Ozark Mountains of Missouri. Don't ask about how we ended up there, but there was a podium, and the chairperson sheet was, like, nailed to the podium. And the guy like went to pick it, you know, like you go to, and the guy went to pick it up and couldn't. He said, "Oh, I guess around here you can only keep what you have by keeping it." And it was like, you know, sometimes that's it. You can only keep what you have by keeping it. There's some things you can keep by giving it away, and those are things of a spiritual nature. Things of a more material nature, you can only keep what you have by keeping it. So, like, you know, I'm not, if I can afford to give you 50 cents and I can afford to be without it, I'll give it to you. Otherwise, I'm keeping my 50 cents, you know? And then, you know, I don't lend my name either. Like, it's my name. Sometimes I don't like it, but it's mine. You know, I laugh. I got, you know, I had a name. I got to be honest. I'm talking about my birth name, my last name. I wasn't crazy about it because, for a long time I wasn't really happy with my dad, so I, like, didn't like that name. So I was really excited when I got married and I got my ex-husband's name. You know, that marriage license cost me $10. $10 to get rid of my old name, marry this guy. That marriage didn't last very long. It cost me like $500 to buy my name back. Because I like being that, you know. Then I got married again, and I took that name too. I'm going to hang on to that one. Like the name or not, you know, that's who I am today. You know, it's funny. Is it in this book or my other book? I think it's in my other book. My old home group in Brownsville always gave these little certificates to the speaker, thanking you for speaking. I've been through a few names since I've been here, obviously. I hang on to them all. I'll show you. I got driver's licenses and three different names. That's who I am today. I've been all three of those people. That's who I am today. I'm not giving that away. I'm not giving that to someone else today. I like being who I am today. I wanted to say this because Cedric had started talking about this and it struck me. You know, we use a term often in this program called surrender. It's a military term. And it's about giving up. And we talk about the paradox that in this fellowship you have to surrender to win. And then Cedric was talking about what it means to retreat, which is also a military term. And oftentimes people think that retreating is a bad thing. And retreat means to turn back, means to take a step back. And it's not like just take a step back and hang out. It's about taking a step back, reevaluating the situation, looking at things differently. I love retreats. This is the fourth NA retreat that I've been to this year. And last weekend, Thursday and Friday, so in the week, I went on retreat with my 10-year-old daughter. We went up to Ohio Pile, just the two of us, camped out, had a great time, and it was just about us stepping back. Because when you retreat, you step back from your usual. You step back from your norm. You change your position. Wow. Changing your position. Just getting a chance to look at things a little differently. So while Cedric was talking about that and that stuff was coming to my mind, it made me think, and I might be casting judgment here, the idea of money, property, and prestige diverting us, and the idea of retreat. I much prefer to go to a retreat than a convention. Because what I find is, you know, we're here, we're in the woods. There's nothing you can try to be prestigious or pretentious about here. You know? You're powerless. Completely powerless. Damn if it isn't going to be 95 degrees today, right? So all you people, right, you're camping out, you're going to be bitching about is 95 degrees out. Those of you who were here last year when it was raining, okay, like, you just got to come and be who you are and be okay with whether you're dripping wet or stinky as could be. Because you know what? That's just the way it is. It's not about do we have 8 comedians, you know, 12 different bands, 85 DJs. It's about where's the meeting, what time's the workshop, does somebody have a hot dog? Can I get a marshmallow? Or I like the best was, people were running around, I forgot a towel. You know, does somebody have an extra towel? Because what happens when we come to a retreat, and I've seen it, I watch it, I love watching people get out of their cars at retreats, you know, you've seen it, the clothes, the makeup, the perfume, the high heels. It doesn't last very long. You're back in that car because you got all that perfume on and you're getting bitten. And it's like, no, you got to smell like off, okay? You might as well just crack that heel off because you're going to sink. And if it's raining, you're really in bad shape. You get here and you have to be about what's real. You cannot. You know, it's really hard as a human being to, like, go against this tradition in this environment. You can't. Because you cannot really put on those airs. We just, you know, we get here and we have to get naked. We get here and we have to get real. If you've not experienced, you know, a meeting around a campfire, there's something about sharing in the dark with this big, bright, burning light that you can't see who's on the other side, and that the spirit is just there. Your higher power finds a way of just coming in and allowing truth and honesty to just come out. And wow. I mean, it's just the miracle, to me, the miracle of what Narcotics Anonymous has to offer happens in a way in this environment that doesn't happen with the same regularity and intensity as it does elsewhere. And that's not to say it doesn't happen elsewhere, but it's very hard in this environment to put up walls. It's very hard to be dishonest in this environment. It is very hard, I think, to forget what our primary purpose is when we're out here like this. And again, you know, I just looked down and the word boundaries came up. And I was walking around today. I just like to do that. I have an obsession. I have one obsession that comes out really bad at retreats, and I've been really good about it. I'm obsessed with tents. I am. I've been really good. There was a time when I owned 9 of them. As they've broken, I have not replaced them, but I have this. You know, I want, so I kind of walk around and I look at tents, but while I'm walking around looking at tents, like, you know, conversations come in, and a lot, it amazed me that as I was walking around a lot, and then I looked down and saw that word, that a lot of the conversations that came into my peripheral of my ear was about either building healthy boundaries or about letting down the walls. And since we're camping and there are very few walls around, both literally and figuratively, I think that happens. And I think that I'm going to thank everybody for listening. And I don't know whether I'm endorsing, attracting, or promoting here. But the Public Information Committee will be having its workshop after this workshop, and it's sure to be a crowd pleaser. because it's going to be fun and different than any workshop you've probably been to before. So please stay if you're interested. Thank you, and have a good retreat.